Hi, so my name is David Pearce. I am a lecturer, senior lecturer in the School of Engineering and Computer Science. I've been at VIC now for about 7 years, and my research area is programming languages. And at the moment, I'm working on a project which is to build a new programming language called Wiley. And I was recently fortunate enough to get a grant from the Royal Society of New Zealand, a Marsden grant, to work on Wiley, which will cover me for the next 3 years. And the project is basically, it's about making software more reliable. So if we think about software, you know, is in all sorts of things that we do in the modern world. So for example, software controls airplanes, it controls a modern car like a Toyota Prius, for example. They say a Toyota Prius has got something like 100 million lines of computer code inside it, which is pretty amazing. An Airbus A380, they say has got 1 billion lines of computer code. That's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of software. And if that software goes wrong, then we could have a problem. And my programming language is designed to really eliminate as many errors as we possibly can.
Y2K sort of reminded us a bit about how reliable we are on computers and programming and software and hardware. Do you think there's a possibility of another sort of breakdown like that?
That's an interesting question. I think it's unlikely we have a single point. That was pretty unusual to have a single point when everything wrapped around like that. But I think that, you know, software is becoming more and more ubiquitous. You know, it's in everything that we do more than ever, and it's becoming more and more complex. We want it to do more things. And so I think in the future, if people, you know, don't sort this out, we are going to see an increasing number of problems happening with software. Yeah, a lot of glitches. You know, there was New World had a problem with their counters recently where they all failed because of a computer glitch. You know, more things like that I think we'll see.
Groups like Anonymous are very good at taking down technology. Mm. Do you think with our increased reliance on computer technology networked around the world, we're going to see increased vulnerability?
So I certainly think we're certainly seeing that at the moment, yeah. It's kind of a funny thing though, right, from my perspective, because one of the reasons why hacking has become so prolific is because the programming languages that are used to build systems on the internet are so poor. So I think that in the future, in my kind of ideal world, we would use programming systems that were much better and that would really prevent those kinds of attacks and really cut down what those kinds of groups would be able to do. So I'm not sure that I see the sort of nightmare scenario, you know, of people hacking anything they wanted at any time. But it's not clear how long it's going to take to get to, you know, the better place.
How did you come to be working at Victoria University?
So I studied for a PhD in London at a place called Imperial College. That was actually where I studied for my undergraduate degree as well. And I was there, I was living in London for about 10 years, and that's where I met my wife, who is a Kiwi and was at the time doing her OE in London, and we met in the west of London. I lived in Ealing, and she wanted to come back to New Zealand, right? She had enough of London. She'd been there for quite a few years, and she was like, I want to go, but I'm going back to New Zealand, you know, you can come or not. And so I was like, okay. So I applied for a job, and here I am.
Victoria University's engineering school is fairly new. Why should people study with engineering at Victoria?
So I think there are a few reasons. Firstly, it's a four-year degree. And I think some people would look on that in a bad light because they'll say 4 years as opposed to 3 years. Well, that's an extra year of study. But that is an extra year of study, right? It means you're going to know more. And the most important thing is when you go into the workplace, knowing as much as you can know, because that's what people want. They're going to interview students and they're going to find out how much they know. And in an interview, I can find out pretty quickly if a student knows about programming, really quickly. Also, you know, the degree is more constrained. So you don't have options to study subjects from all sorts of courses in the university, right? Or at least there are some options to do that, but they're much less than in the BSc. Where in the BSc, you can study a handful of courses in your major, but you can study a lot of courses from outside of your major as well. So the BE focuses you much more on your discipline, and I think that is valuable. And I guess the other thing is that the BE will be accredited hopefully, the process is happening in July, in a couple of weeks from now, and that means it will have recognition, sort of more, you know, better recognition across the world as a program, as a degree.
How did you get into engineering as a discipline?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I guess for me, I've been programming since I was about 6. I started programming on a ZX Spectrum. My dad bought me a ZX Spectrum, you know, when I was a kid, and he started programming on it, but he couldn't make it work. And for some reason, I don't know why, really, for some reason, I was like, I could do that. And so I just started programming, and then I started writing games, and then I was just been programming and programming, and I got to the point where I was like, okay, I want to go to university, where should I go? I wanted to do computer science, and Imperial College was a great place, and that's pretty much how it worked. Just, I didn't specifically try to get into it, it just happened. I was lucky, I think, to be honest.
And finally, if you could eat any meal with anyone, what would you be eating, and who would you be eating it with?
Any meal? That's the harder bit, to be honest. I don't know what I'd go for. What would I have? I'd probably just have a steak and chips, to be honest with you. You know, a bit of béarnaise sauce, that would be fantastic. And I probably think the person I'd like to eat my meal with would probably be Linus Torvalds, actually. He's the creator of the Linux operating system. And I think he's been a profoundly influential person in my area, you know, but also within the whole world. And I think he would be fascinating. I'd love to chat to him.
Just on the matter of Linux,
coincidentally,
just finally now, do you think there's going to be a growth in sort of the use of Linux by the everyday person in the future?
Well, so the answer is that is happening because Android runs on Linux. So people that have Android phones have Linux, right? Even though they don't, you know, you can't really tell. So I think so. I think Linux is being very successful, and I think it's going to continue to be so. And I think it's going to outlive many other things. You know, like I don't know what the future for Microsoft Windows is, you know, long term. I think with mobile phones, with tablets, I think we're starting to think, do we really need even to have a desktop PC these days? Do we need Windows? I don't know. So I think Linux is going to be successful, definitely. I think it's a really nice piece of work. And a lot of people, you know, it's not just a lot of people think it's just a bunch of people in their spare time working on Linux, but that's not true. They're professionals working on Linux full-time, paid for by companies like IBM. Even Microsoft has people working on Linux, for example, and other companies. And that's because Linux is so important. And if those companies are backing it, then to my mind, it's got a pretty bright future.
And finally, the ultimate computer Coke and Pepsi question, PC or Mac?
Which is my preference? That's an interesting question. So pretty much my whole life I've been using PCs. Up until about 4 or 5 months ago, I had a Dell Windows laptop. But I've actually just got a MacBook, actually. And I got to say, I do like it. One of the reasons I like it, though, is it runs Unix. So under the hood, the Macintosh operating system is the Unix operating system. And so that's easier for me to do my work on than Windows was. But I do like it, I have to say. So I guess Mac.
Thank you so much for talking to us today.
No worries. It was fun.